Buckle up. The Three Wide Podcast is on the air. In-depth analysis between the three biggest divisions in NASCAR. The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. And now, the green flag flies from the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas. Podcasting to the world. It's the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
All right, y'all know what time it is. Once again, the Three Wide Podcast with EG3 back on the airways once again. Big 200. EG3, Eddie Greer III here in Manhattan, Kansas. Three Wide Podcast, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. Man, just 4 more weeks until the season ends. Man, hard to believe what's been going on all year long. Again, Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of NASCAR on this recording on this Wednesday night, October 14th, 2020. And yes, y'all know what time it is. Kansas Speedway, start of the round of 8, the semifinals starting here. Well, 2 hours away from here at least, KC, this weekend. I can't wait for it. And I got tickets to go, so I am going there. Did not go the last time the Cup Series was there because of the whole mandate no fans rule, but got the ticket. Very pumped up this weekend. Before I bring on my special guest for this 200 episode edition, of course, the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, Stitcher, in the latest edition, Amazon Music as well. You can tell Alexa to play the 3Wide Podcast with EG3, and it should do that as well. All right, folks, crossover episode 200, special guest from the Loose Lug Podcast, AJ and Ryan. So glad to have them with me here this evening, boys. What's going on?
What up, Eddie? Congratulations on the 200. Happy to be here.
What's up, Eddie? Congrats on 200. Man, 200 episodes of Going 3Wide. I love it. Congratulations. I am honored to be here. And how cool is that? You'll be heading out to Kansas Speedway this weekend.
Yeah, I am very excited. Anxious for the weekend already to get here. And it's only Wednesday night, just 2 more days until that. But yeah, I'm going to see the Cup race, so I'm going up early Sunday morning to join a couple of my buddies also that are going as well. So should be a very exciting time, as well as Mike Driver in the final eight along with AJ's driver. Of course, I'll touch on that momentarily. So thoughts on the weekend, which was the Roval. The Xfinity Series race was indeed a monsoon, and then the Cup race turned out to be a normal race as well. Ryan, I'm going to start with you first. Just your general thoughts on last weekend.
I thought the Xfinity race was absolutely, all the drivers did a fantastic job running in the rain. The rain tire held up. Awesome Saturday. Cool to see AJ Allmendinger get in victory lane. Good for AJ. Also, the Cup race. Love the fact that they did start on that rain tire, but as soon as that track started to dry, that tire just kept eating away, and it was Ty Dillon started to get the slicks on, and everybody's like, okay, we're going back to slicks. But all in all, a great weekend. I'm glad to see the fans are getting back to these tracks now. Glad to see NBC's actually going to the tracks as well starting this weekend at Kansas. But all in all, I thought it was a great, fantastic weekend at the Roval.
Yes, indeed. AJ, what are your general thoughts? I know about Chase Elliott getting a fourth straight road win, which is very impressive. What are your general thoughts on the entire weekend?
I love the Roval. I think we should run it 36 races out of the year. In fact, you know what? Let's just have a whole 36 race road course schedule. No, man. I mean, the Roval is always fun. It's something so different than what NASCAR has been used to. And I know we've run this for about 3 years now. But it just, every year it gets better and better, and it's always so dramatic. Saturdays especially, you know, everyone had such a hard time keeping it on the track, or at least keeping it straight. And then you go to Sunday, where it was a little bit different. You had where they started off on rain tires, then the option to come back in and pit for slicks for rain tires. You saw what Ty Dillon did, who I think Brett Griffin ended up saying it looked like Lewis Hamilton was out there with him as he was going up the field. And, I mean, the icing on the cake was Chase winning, so we're still partying out here.
I'm still partying from Daytona, the Coke Zero Sugar 400. I even got the shirt on tonight. Finally came in the mail, my William Byron Wynn shirt, so finally came in the mail.
Yeah, Ron, I was about to ask you about that. Yeah, William Byron basically walking off to get himself into the playoffs. What was that like, finally seeing your Will getting into victory lane?
It was amazing. I said on the last show that we had done that I woke the wife up. Like, the wife thought that somebody had broken into our house. I had, you know, maybe cut myself, you know, cutting something, you know, to eat and all that. And I'm like, no, Byron finally won. Because I'm listening to Tab Boyd on the scandal, and I hear Tab going nuts, and I'm like, holy cow, he finally won. So I'm going crazy. The wife flies down the stairs. I'm surprised I didn't wake up Logan, which was a blessing in disguise, which I'm glad I didn't wake him up. So, because I would have had to hear the wrath of it. I'm like, oh, don't need to do that. But it was awesome to see. It's sad that Chad is leaving at the end of the year to go into a bigger role at Hendrick Motorsports. But congratulations again to William Byron, my driver. Awesome to see AJ's driver win this weekend at the Roval as well, Chase Elliott.
Yes, indeed.
Just starting off the pole at Kansas. The week continues and just fun.
Oh man, well, the trucks did not race at the Roval last weekend, but they'll kick off their round of eight at Kansas, a double dip at Kansas on Saturday. They kick off the weekend at 3 Central Time, and then of course the Xfinity Series follows that with their night race in prime time. The trucks final eight, and of course, big news from the truck series, Zane Smith re-signing with GMS. Zane Smith having a terrific rookie year in his first full season in the truck series there. He's right there in the mix to possibly fight for a final four berth there. AJ, I'm going to start off with you. What are your thoughts so far on the truck playoffs?
You know, it started off being really surprising. You had some big names, Stuart Friesen and Johnny Sauter, not get in. But other than that, it's been wildly entertaining week in and week out. You mentioned Zane Smith. Awesome for the guy. Started off running Xfinity cars with Junior Motorsports a little bit this year and finally finding his groove really with the GMS team. Well-deserving for that young man right there.
Yes, sir. Indeed. Ryan, your thoughts on the trucks as they head to KC this weekend to begin their round of eight. Obviously, the last time the trucks were on the track, Rafael Lassard getting the win over Trevor Bayne at Talladega and one of the more closer finishes there in Alabama. So, Rafael Lassard, obviously not a playoff driver there, but Christian Eckes was. He got eliminated there along with Todd Gilliland. So, trucks are down to eight, and obviously after Martinsville, it'll be down to the final four.
Yeah, there's something about Austin Hill, though. I've been watching these Truck Series playoffs, and there's just something about that kid. I mean, he's now running a couple of the Xfinity races, running good in the Xfinity car, but there's just something about him. I love the Zane Smith signing. He is my go-to driver in the Truck Series now. I liked him because he was driving for Junior Motorsports, like AJ had mentioned, in the Xfinity car, but now he's now full-time in the Truck Series. Awesome news for him. These Truck Series playoffs races have been on the edge of your seat. Like you mentioned, Rafael Lassard two weeks ago, at Talladega with Trevor Bayne. Good to see Trevor back in the sport after not having a ride for a little bit there after getting let go by Roush Racing.
Yes, indeed. So, down to the final eight, and of course the starting lineup has already been announced for the Truck Series on Saturday afternoon. Chandler Smith will start on P1, and then Ben Rhodes still in the mix to try to get in to the Championship Four. He will start second. Kind of look at the playoff drivers here. Brett Moffitt will start third. Sheldon Creed, he'll roll out fourth. Matt Crafton starts fifth. Grant Emminger rolls off sixth. Tyler Ankrum, seventh. Austin Hill, somebody you're going to need to watch, eighth, like Ryan said. And then Zane Smith there sitting will roll off in a ninth position. And of course, Rafael Assard, your last time winner in the Truck Series, he will starts in the 10th position there. So the Trucks kick off KC weekend on Saturday afternoon. Meanwhile, the Xfinity Series, AJ Allmendinger and how about Colleague Racing gobbling up some wins this year. Justin Haley getting a win. Now AJ Allmendinger in the playoffs, even though Allmendinger is not obviously not a playoff driver. Allmendinger getting another road course win himself. Ryan, I'm going to start off with you. How about Colleague yes. Racing this year? Justin Haley getting himself into the round of eight with a win. Now he has a couple wins this year, including a streak of three straight speedway wins, which is incredible there. And on the flip side, Ross Chastain getting in, but still having no wins. Obviously, Ross Chastain getting the 42 ride next year in the Cup Series with Ganassi Racing.
Yeah, really quickly, a side note here, Haley Deegan does make her debut in the Truck Series this weekend, by the way.
That's right.
I thought I'd have to throw that in there as well. But yeah, with the Xfinity playoffs this weekend and at the Roval, like you said, Colleague Racing, man, I don't know what Matt Colleague does, but all the drivers, like every interview, I love Matt. What, it must be some type of owner to go drive for, because at Daytona when Allmendinger and Chastain took each other out, I figured there was going to be problems with that, but no, they aired their issues out. Matt Colleague, man, I hope they can put get enough funds to go into the Cup Series. But yeah, we're definitely a nice win again, like I said earlier, about AJ Allmendinger in the rain, in the slick tire, the rain tire, excuse me. What a race. What a race.
Yeah, and AJ, your thoughts on the emergence of Colleague Racing and Justin Haley and Ross Chastain?
Can AJ Allmendinger get a full-time ride now with Colleague Racing? I think he's proven. He can win on circuit plates. He can win on ovals. He can win on road courses, obviously. It's time to put Allmendinger in that ride full-time. And, you know, like you said, with Chastain, who's had a pretty just average year, surprisingly for him, with him going to Cup full-time next year, it kind of gives Matt Colleague that opportunity, I think, to bring AJ in full-time. Like I think he should have been for this whole season now. But those three drivers, Haley, Chastain, and Allmendinger, they all get along so well. And it's, to me, it is the only team out there right now that knows how to race as a team. You've seen Junior Motorsports have run-ins with each other, Noah Gregson and Justin Allgaier, notably. But you look at a team like Colleague Racing, and you saw it at Talladega the first time they went there, or Daytona, all of them jumping around, you know, together after the race.
They all won the race. Only one driver.
Yeah, it's just, that is the, they might not win every race or, you know, have that chance to win every race, but man, as a driver, I look at them and go, that's where I want to be. I want to be where they're having fun like that.
Yeah, that was Talladega when they celebrated as a team there. And they really emerged as one of the top organizations in the Xfinity Series. And then as I'm kind of actually reading, catching up on some of the news now, actually, not from Colleague, but from JGR in the Xfinity Series, Brandon Jones, who's gotten a couple wins this year and is locked in to the round of eight, he We'll be back with the 19 of Junior, not Junior, Joe Gibbs Racing. Too many J's. So Brandon Jones back in. And obviously, Brandon Jones has won at Kansas 2 years, well, two races in a row. The last time, obviously, getting the jump on Austin Cindric, who was dominant. The last time the Xfinity Series was at Kansas. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. But yeah, Brandon Jones capitalizing on that. He's capitalized on a couple wins this year there. So wanted to get that, sneak that in there. So Brandon Jones returning to JGR next season. AJ, I'm going to start with you on BJ. What are your thoughts on Brandon Jones coming back to the Xfinity Series 19 team?
I think it's a good move for JGR. It's a guy who knows the system now. We talked, like, I mean, you look at the NFL and teams like that, it's all about guys who know the system. Well, with Joe Gibbs Racing flipping drivers as quick as they do, it makes a lot of sense to bring in Brandon Jones to kind of be that veteran guy there. I know it sounds weird because, you know, he's only 20-something years old, but it's always good to have that veteran guy there who knows how it works and can kind of teach the guys who are up and coming, you know, show them the ropes, show them how to, like we just said with Colleague Racing, be a team player. I think it's a great move for Joe Gibbs.
Ryan, what are your thoughts?
Yes. I have to agree with what AJ said, though. You got to keep at least one of the guys in your team a veteran, and he's a veteran of the series now. A couple wins, like you said, EG3, wins at Kansas. Like AJ was saying, though, you got to have that veteran. And that's why, you know, with Colleague Racing, like we had mentioned, AJ Allmendinger is that veteran only in a part-time schedule. But I think it's a great move. I think I lost him. I haven't moved the monitor or anything like that, and the screen just went blank on me for a minute. Sorry about that, folks. But yeah, good move by Gibbs Racing, Joe Gibbs Racing.
Yeah, so BJ, we'll be back next year. Kind of do a rundown of the top 10 from the Xfinity Series race last week. You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3, joined with the Loose Lugs Podcast duo of AJ and Ryan. AJ Allmendinger scoring the win in the monsoon. Only led 12 laps in this race there, of course, closing the door on Noah Gregson, who appeared, well, I did not see the entire race, but I did see highlights and went back to see some of what went down when the Xfinity Series race last weekend. There, Noah Gregson appeared, at least from what I was looking at, to have the best car there. Obviously, the little feud between he and Riley Herbst continues. I'll touch on that here in a minute. Finished second, Daniel Hemric third, Alex LeBay finished fourth. Ross Chastain finished in the fifth spot there. Your rest of your top 10 includes Austin Cindric, who finished sixth there. Cody Ware with a seventh place finish there. Jade Buford, eighth. Michael Annette, ninth. Brandon Jones, the guy we just talked about, folks, finished in the 10th position there in the Roval in the Xfinity Series. Of course, now Riley Herbst finished in the 12th position here. As I scroll down, okay, got it. So Riley Herbst, 12th, he got eliminated in this race. Harrison Burton also eliminated in this round. Brandon Brown also eliminated. Michael Annette, who apparently finished second at Talladega, did not, after the race, got penalized, ended up finishing last. That cost him. So those four drivers, Harrison Burton, Brandon Brown, and it was a fight for that last transfer spot between Ross Chastain and Harrison Burton going into this race, and Burton getting left out, Brandon Brown, Michael Annette, and Riley Herbst left out of the round of eight. Ryan, I'm going to start off with you. Yes. What are your thoughts on those four drivers there getting eliminated?
I feel for Brandon Brown, you know, being that underfunded team, getting into the playoffs. That's what I like about the Xfinity Series. You get that, you know, that one underfunded team that can get into the playoffs, that has a chance to win. And unfortunately, Brandon Brown getting eliminated, kind of, you know, couldn't quite do it. But yeah, you know, Harrison Burton, I thought he could have advanced, and Riley Herbst, him and Noah, like you were getting ready to say, EG3, they have some issues and good spot to do it at the road course at the Roval. And but yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised with, you know, it, like I said, it's kind of heartbreaking though for Brandon Brown, but another underfunded team, Ryan Sieg, moving on into the round of eight.
AJ, your thoughts on the four that got eliminated there, including Harrison Burton that got eliminated last weekend?
Well, just touching on what Ryan said, you know, you feel bad for Brandon Brown, who has hung up there in the top 15 all season long. You know, never really had himself in a position to be able to win, but was always there. It was always nice to see that name up there. It's a name that you don't normally see. And yeah, Harrison Burton being eliminated to me is the biggest shock. Maybe second to Kyle Busch on the Cup side being eliminated that early. And it's just because of the team. It's because of how dominant that team is. But let's face it, guys. The class of the Xfinity field has been Chase Briscoe and Austin Cindric all season long. And I think it continues like that. You know, the only other guy I can see who can really make a shot at a run here is Noah. And his biggest rival just got knocked out last round, and I don't think we're done seeing the bad blood between those two in these playoffs.
Yeah, I gotta agree 100% on that. Yeah, Noah Gregson there, Robin Herbst there, having a battle in the rain there, and yeah, this thing goes all the way back to early in the season, I believe.
Texas.
This thing. Yeah, Texas, and I thought it started at Pocono, but you might be right. But yeah, Pocono, they had issues. Texas had issues, and they continue to run into each other on the track. And yeah, AJ, yeah, you mentioned Noah, a biggest threat to Chase and Austin Cindric there. He better look in a rear-view mirror there for Riley Herbst there. He hasn't made a ton of friends this year on a track, and that's a whole nother discussion about making friends on the racetrack. But yeah, so if he's gonna contend, yeah, he better stay far away from Riley Herbst as possible if he's gonna make a run at getting into the final four at Phoenix. So
I have to agree on that.
All right, so kind of taking a look at the reset hitting in the KC. Now with the four eliminated, obviously, Chase Briscoe, Austin Cindric with the reset. Chase Briscoe dominant at Vegas, 10 points ahead of Austin Cindric, and then Justin Allgaier there sitting in third. And if the final four for the Xfinity Series were to be set, Noah Gregson will have the final spot. But right now, at the cutoff line, Justin Haley only 2 points back behind him. Brandon Jones, not too far behind him. Ross Chastain, a little far back. And obviously, Ryan Sieg will have some work to do there. So, the final eight, hanging to Kansas, obviously Texas, and then Martinsville. Let me double check here. Martinsville with the Xfinity Series will make their return to Martinsville. That's going to be a lot of fun there for the Xfinity Series. So, pretty much all three divisions will have the same tracks right down to Arizona. So, AJ, your thoughts on the Xfinity Series going to Martinsville here in a few weeks to decide possibly the final spots of the Championship Four in the Xfinity Series?
Well, it's you're going to have the Roval, but it's just on an oval, like the craziness of it. We mentioned the whole Herbst and Gregson issue. That's a perfect place for payback. We saw it with Kenseth and Logano years ago. It's definitely almost another wild card being thrown in there. You know, we talk about Talladega, the Roval, those being wild cards, but no, Martinsville is too, because, you know, if you think about it, the Xfinity guys, they don't really race here, if you don't remember. It's a track that some of them aren't really all that familiar with, so well, it's going to be chaotic, I guess would be the best way to put it, if I can only put it into one word. I can't wait for it. I think it's going to be probably the best race this round, I think.
Ryan, what you got?
This has me remember earlier this year when the trucks went back to Darlington excited? This is on that level right here. To get into the final four, you are going to have so many cars that are going to be beaten and banged up. You're going to see the, you know, hey, use the bumper. I remember the line from Goldeneye. Use the bumper. That's what it's for. That's who, like, if say, for example, Brandon Jones needs three spots to get into the next, to the final four. Guess what? He's going to use his bumper to get whoever it is out of his way to get those spots to get into the next round. I'm looking forward to this race more than any race on the year. Xfinity Series back at Martinsville. Like AJ said, not a lot of guys with Martinsville experience. I know Ross Chastain has a little bit of experience there. All guys run there in the past in the cup car. But, man, going to be a hell of a race.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
Yeah, definitely excited to see the Xfinity Series in action at Martinsville. The last race, last chance to get in the final four. The Kansas Monterey 300 in prime time, 6 o'clock Central Time. Obviously, that's NBCSN, and then MRN will have coverage over the radio. I want to back up real quick to the trucks, as Ryan mentioned early on in this episode of the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. Haley Deegan will make her truck debut from getting that practice, and she will be starting, I believe, dead last, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have the start lineup up on my screen at the moment. I changed it to a different screen. Go ahead, Ryan.
I think she was starting 34th, 35th.
Yeah, that might.
Somewhere like that.
Yeah, so Haley D, yeah, she's going to be, either way, she's going to be starting in the back, and of course with no obviously with no qualifying and no practice, the story, one of the bigger stories of 2020. Yeah, she's going to have to do her practice during the race there, so. But that's still must-see TV, though, to see, watch Haley Deegan in a truck and see how she can adjust herself. Obviously, she had to do a couple of races. I talked about this on the last episode of the podcast a little bit, that she needed to get at least 2 or 3 truck series races in this year to be eligible to get full-time. So this is one of them right here, Kansas Speedway on Saturday afternoon. She's going to have her hands full on the mile and a half racetrack. EG3 for the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, AJ and Ryan, episode 200 from the Loose Lugs Podcast. And kind of the rundown, the trucks standings real fast here before we talk the cup race from this past weekend. The reset things for the trucks, first race of the round of 8, obviously 4 will be left out after Martinsville. Austin Hill and Sheldon Creed locked up, tied up, heading into this weekend's race. Zane Smith, 6 points out. And if the championship four were to start in the trucks, Grant Emminger has that spot right now. And kind of one of the surprises of the truck series this year, Brett Moffitt, still winless in 2020. He can thank Sheldon Creed for that. He's 4 points out. Ben Rhodes, not too far behind him. Matt Crafton sitting there in 7th. Let's not forget about him. The defending champ still alive. And Tyler Ankrum there in 8th. I want to touch on truck. I want to hear from you guys from the trucks as they head to Kansas. What are your thoughts on Brett Moffitt? And you got anything else? We'll start with Ryan.
You know what? Matt Crafton showed last year that they made this point system where wins mattered. Matt Crafton didn't win it all going into that final race, had the best finish, and won the title. I think Brett Moffitt can pull the same card if he can just jump Grant Enfinger, he's only 3 points behind, gets himself locked in at Phoenix, IMS Raceway, or is it back to Phoenix? And I think he can get it done. I think you're going to see some good playoff action in the trucks, as you always do. Shorter races, more beating and banging on each other. But I think Brett Moffitt, I think you can put him in on my end in the final four.
AJ, your thoughts on the round of eight, who's left, and what's going to play out here, starting with Kansas?
Well, I gotta say, I haven't been able to watch too much of the Truck Series this season, unfortunately. So, I mean, it's the usual suspects for me. It's the Brett Moffitts. It's this season, Sheldon Creed, I mean, really has come out of nowhere. And, I mean, I know he's had a couple good starts here in the past. Just nothing quite like this. He's very consistent this year. Those are two guys that I could see as solid guys in that Final Four. I believe Matt Crafton is still in. You can't count that guy out. Always,
yes,
you know,
yes.
You're always going to have that veteran driver in there. Those three for sure, and then, you know, pull it from a hat from there. It always seems like that for the Truck Series, you know?
Yeah, Truck's always wide open, and we'll see. Yeah, I'm looking at, obviously, Austin Hill, that obviously comes to my mind there, and Matt Crafton just lurking in the weeds in the seventh spot there. So, yeah, this thing is wide open for anybody to conquer. And obviously, Sheldon Creed has been one of the bright spots this year in 2020 there, getting a couple wins. And he's rolling in a round of eight with some confidence. Zane Smith is still there. So, yeah, man, this is going to be a toss-up. And starting in Kansas, anything can happen at all three of these tracks coming up, Kansas, Texas, and Martinsville. So I'm definitely looking forward is seeing what unfolds beginning Saturday afternoon with the Trucks. All right, now on to the Cup Series. Obviously, last Sunday, Chase Elliott continues his road course dominance with another great performance at the Charlotte Roval. Four consecutive wins in a row.
Road course king.
Yeah, I gotta give it to him. Very impressive. Very impressive. That's all I got to say there. Chase Elliott now, obviously going in, he has the last spot right now. If the Championship Four were to start, he will have the last spot. He's been right there for the last two, 3 years now. And this, from top to bottom, this final eight, Kurt Busch getting that huge, huge win at Vegas really shook things up there, and he ends up knocking out the defending champ Kyle Busch out.
His brother
out. Wow, that's something there. So Kyle Busch still and probably will not have. I don't like looking forward, but he probably will not have a win this year. That's hard to say. You would have gone back at the beginning of the year and said Kyle Busch will have no wins. I would have laughed in your face and told you, hell no. He's going to have some wins, but I don't know. I don't know this year. I mean, you look at his teammates, and obviously I'm going to start with the four that got eliminated with, obviously, Kyle Busch, the obvious there. Defending champion, Denny Hamlin, been the class of the field with Kevin Harvick, Kyle's teammate all year long, has speed. Martin Truex has been up there. Doesn't have a lot of wins, but he's been up there in the mix. Eric Jones has been inconsistent. I mean, Eric Jones has been coming on strong as of late. It's mind-boggling to me that Adam Stevens, Kyle Busch, this combination does not have a win. And obviously, Kyle's complained about having no practice, and it clearly shows. I mean, he's had a couple chances. I mean, there's been a doubleheaders this year where, I mean, you would have thought, I mean, yes, you get practice the first race. You use that first race as a practice, and then the second race, attack it. But, I mean, it seems like Kyle Busch, I mean, he predicted that he wouldn't make the next round, and he definitely did that. So he did not make the next round. Ryan, your thoughts on Kyle eliminated and possibly a good chance of him not winning a race this year?
Like you said, if you were to say at the beginning of the year Kyle Busch wasn't going to win a race, I would laugh. On our podcast, the Loose Lugs podcast, I predicted that MTJ wasn't going to win a race this year.
Yeah, you said that. Yep. I remember.
I was in the right camp.
Remember who said that, Eddie. Remember who said that.
Yep, I remember that. Yeah, I listened to that episode. Yeah.
And I even said, I'm sorry to EG3. I even said, I'm sorry, EG3. But guess what? It's in the right camp, but the wrong driver.
Yep.
There's 30-some other drivers out there who aren't getting practice, too. Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick have gotten it figured out. Why can't Kyle get it figured out? And that's not taking away anything from Kyle Busch. Like I said, obviously, maybe that's the kind of crew chief Adam Stevens is. Maybe he has to have the practice to know what the car does. Maybe he can't do the in-race adjustments like a lot of these guys are doing. But I'm shocked he didn't advance this round. I really am. I thought the Roval would have been his for the taking. Unfortunately, for Kyle Busch fans out there, it didn't come to fruition.
AJ, what do you have on Kyle Busch, the defending champion? Won't have a chance to repeat, and obviously, four of the last five, he's made a championship four, and he's not going to be a part of that this year.
You know, you led me into the point I was wanting to make, and that's after last season, Kyle winning the championship, I sat back and looked at it going, man, this guy can really go on a Jimmy Johnson type run of championships here and, you know, really cement himself as that top five conversation for greatest drivers to ever race in this sport. And the fact that he doesn't have a win yet is just astonishing to me. I can't wrap my brain around it. And it's got to do with no practice and qualifying time. But I mean, there's 39 other guys out there that are doing the same thing without it. And Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, they're winning. And I know I got a lot of sound going on here. I'm going over a bridge, so I'm sorry about that. But did anyone truly, and not just on this show, because I know what you guys have responded with, did anyone really think that Kyle wouldn't have a win or not at least be in the round of eight? At least be in the round of eight? No, this is insane. This is insanity. And MTJ falling off kind of a little bit, too, is kind of shocking. But all in the same, I see those guys as very similar drivers, so that doesn't shock me. But, you know, that's what I think about it, at least.
Yeah, and that's the thing right there. Everybody's pretty much on even keel when it comes to no practice and no qualifying. And, yeah, Kyle Busch had an opportunity early in his playoffs to get a win and didn't. Kevin Harvick shut him out at Bristol there, which one of the great battles of the entire year. So Kyle Busch and the talent that this guy has, you would have thought that he can adjust. And I talked about it a little bit on this podcast as well. I mean, the talent that this guy has, I mean, he has the wins. You can win in the Xfinity Series, you can win in the Truck Series, but you can't win the Cup Series. That doesn't add up. That doesn't really add up to me at much. And you can beat up on guys in the Truck Series, beat up guys in the Xfinity Series, but you can't. I mean, it's the best of the best in the Cup Series. Kyle is one of the best, but he's struggling to find his way. And then I listened to the Teardown, recent episode of the Teardown with Jeff Gluck and Jordan Bianchi, and from what Kyle was talking about, I guess Jordan asked him the question, will there be changes made? And Kyle said they're talking about it. So I don't know if, that's interesting also is Adam Stevens. I mean, Adam Stevens is the right guy for Kyle Busch. And when it definitely comes to Kyle's temper, Adam's the right guy. We've seen him combat that over the radio. So I don't know. This question's going forth for this 18 team.
I have to agree. And, like, you know, like we've said, like we've all stated, though, it's like there's 38 other guys out there who are getting no practice, no qualifying, everything like that. Like I said, Childress can make the adjustments perfect for Kevin Harvick. And, you know, with the same with Denny, why can't, you know, Stevens do that for Kyle? So, I guess to put it in terms, well, it's 2020.
Well done, Ryan. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Kyle Busch finished 30th there after going for the Hail Mary late in the race there. Obviously got passed there late in the going there and fell all the way back to 30th there. That's been the season, that type of year for Kyle Busch. Now, he'll be watching the rest, well, watching the rear playoffs from the rear view of the driver's seat there. Switching that from Kyle Busch to Austin Dillon. Man, did he have a run going in the first round of these playoffs. And then this round, it switched up on him. Had some bad luck going. Las Vegas was running good. Had some issues there. And Talladega was involved in one of the wrecks there. Talladega was a crazy race there. And then...
Yes, it was.
And a controversial ending there, which I'm not going to get into. Said what I had to say there last week's episode. And this race here, obviously Austin Dillon, not a very good road course racer at all in this case. And bad luck got the 3 team there. And AJ, what are your thoughts on Austin Dillon as his championship hopes come to a close last week? Austin Dillon, jumping here real fast. Austin Dillon finished 19th at the Roval and eliminated from playoff contention.
Man, I might get called out for this, but I'm surprised he didn't get eliminated sooner. Just being honest with you. You know, and it's not that I'm not the biggest Austin Dillon fan saying that. You looked at the list of drivers who were in the playoffs, and you didn't. Not many people had Austin Dillon get past that first round.
Nope.
Definitely some luck played into his hands with some good finishes there. He had some consistency in the first round, but in that second round, man, the second round's truly when you find out who's contender and who's pretender. And unfortunately for that three team's just not there yet. They've made some noise these last couple years. Don't get me wrong. They've made some noise, but they're just not there yet.
Ryan, your thoughts on Austin Dillon getting into the second round and getting eliminated last week at the Roval?
I second what AJ said. I had him out in the first round, too. I had my guy, William Byron, advancing, but unfortunately, that did not happen. I gave credit to where credit was due for Austin Dillon to advance, but like you said, caught up in the wreck-filled Talladega, what was Talladega, race, and you're not going to get into that, and neither do I, because I have a lot to say about the yellow line rule. But back to Austin Dillon, that team is showing signs of improvement, and I think that's why you're seeing right now the merger between Hendrick and Childress next year on their engines.
Yeah, that'll be big. That's big for RCR next year, teaming up with Hendrick there. And they made some strides this year, for sure. And at one point this year, I called Dillon out on this podcast. Tyler Reddick was outrunning him early in the year.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, Tyler Reddick finished 12th in this race. But, yeah, he was running pretty good early in the year. And we didn't hear much from Austin Dillon at all until later on in the year. So, but they have made strides. Obviously, Austin Dillon, let's not forget, he did somehow win at Texas with the 2-tire call. I still don't know how they pull that off. And that was a 1-2 finish there for RCR. So RCR making gains here. And like you said, Ryan, the alliance with Hendrick should. You never know about these alliance things. They match up, and sometimes they don't. But we'll see for next year. Obviously, this is going to be the same setting, the same package on these cars due to the car of the future. I don't have the right words for that at the moment right now. But, yeah, so Dillon eliminated, and then the Stuart Haas cars. And I'm going to touch first on Eric Almirola. For me, he's probably one of the more bigger disappointments. Eric Almirola finished 16th at the Roval, obviously getting caught up in the Stage 1 wreck at Dega last week. This is one of the guys that, I mean, he was, in the summer months, he was top 10 in races. He had a streak of, I believe, was double digits in top 10s there. And I actually had him as a dark horse going in a round of eight. Obviously stumbled there. Had some bad luck. Unfortunately got wrecked there by Bowman at Talladega. And kind of expected a little bit better from this 10 team. And obviously, I've had my say on the 3Y podcast with EG3 about, you know, the 14 and the 10 not matching up with the 4 speed. So, and then you throw in the fact that Cole Custer, who's going to be Rookie of the Year, has a win on Almirola and Clint Boyer. These guys, this duo, has not won going back to last year or the year before that, one of the 2 years. But yeah, AJ, your thoughts from Double A getting eliminated from this round?
You know, I'm going to sound like a broke record here. It's kind of the same as the Austin Dillon deal. AA, like you said, underperformed all season long. It just the 10, the 14 were not up to the same level as the 4 and including the 41 this year. I think the 41 is the second best car there.
Oh, okay.
And I hate to see it because Eric Almirola, you know, such a nice guy in the garage and all that, and you always get happy to see him win. But there's gonna need to be some improvements from that team next year in order for him to be in that car. I think next year.
Ooh.
And Eric Almirola, always a guy that you always think about when you go to like plate tracks or something like that, or super speedways now. But just the luck just hasn't been there for those guys.
There's hungry pups waiting is what you're trying to say, AJ.
How'd you know that's what I was getting at, Ryan?
I great minds. I don't know. I mean,
don't get me wrong. I think there's a guy in the Xfinity series right now that takes over that 14 ride next year. You know, you never know. There's some guys this year who are signed through next year, but after next year are going to be looking for a ride. You know, one that I would just throw out there, and this is totally speculation. I know I'm going off course. But there's a guy, a former Cup champion there, that's going to be looking for a ride after next year.
Ryan, your thoughts on Eric Almirola, kind of wanted to follow up on that here before I get Ryan's thoughts. Yeah, Eric Almirola, great guy, nice guy, very nice guy, very loyal to his sponsors. But something has to change. I mean, he can get top tens. I mean, he's consistent there. But the next step for this team, obviously, is getting themselves to the top five and eventually getting themselves in contention for wins. I mean, we saw them lead laps, and he was the beneficiary before this whole thing of adding up math and calculating the starting lineup for the rest of the year. But this dude benefited from the draw. I mean, he started on the pole like 4 or 5 weeks in a row at one point. So it did not really end, did not capitalize on that. So the next step for this guy is finish. He needs to finish races in the top five and eventually get a couple wins. And I mean, next year's gonna be interesting for this team. I mean, obviously the crew chief changes there for this year. I mean, I believe Booger Rabbits, that's it. Booger Rabbits, the crew chief for Almirola. So it'd be interesting, that's for sure. Ryan, your thoughts on the 10 car?
I have to agree with what you're saying, EG3. I mean, he's coming out, you know, started off on fire. Multiple top 10s. Like you said, there was double-digit races he was getting these top 10 finishes. And then when it comes down to playoff, they just lose the mojo. I mean, you know, like you said, these top 10s are going to have to be turned into top 5s and, yes, getting into victory lane to get, you know, locked in right away. And then you can work on your stuff to see, okay, what can we do when we come back to this track for the second time? I don't know, there's something about that. I don't know what it is about, you know, like the warmer months, you know, different drivers perform better in the warmer months. And when they go to these tracks, what is it going to be in the 60s this weekend at Kansas?
Yeah.
Drivers like the cool weather. Some of them like it hot and slick. It's just, you know, the preference of drivers, I do believe. And, you know, with the 10 car, like you said, he's got to get the wins. We've all said, there's puffs of waiting. Two of them are in the top two in the Xfinity playoff series right now, or in the standings, that are hungry for cup rides. And they're younger, too. So, you know, they're going to be looked at, too.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
EG3, Eddie Greenberg in Manhattan, Kansas on this Wednesday evening as we're recording this podcast. Bank of America Roval 400, Chase Elliott led 27 laps en route to another road course victory. Joey Logano finished second. Eric Jones finished third. Kurt Busch capped off the round of 12 with another top five finish. He finished fourth in this race. Ryan Blaney with a solid fifth place effort. And then William Byron just kind of rolled down the top 10 before we talk about Bowyer. William Byron finished sixth. Martin Truex Jr. seventh. Alex Bowman eighth. Cole Custer finished in a nice spot. How about that 41 car there? And now, which is the perfect lead to Clint Bowyer, who finished 10th. Clint Bowyer had a great run last weekend there, and issues caused him there to fall back a little bit, and he gave it all he had there. Obviously, after this year, after the checkered flag falls in Arizona, he will move to the booth with Jeff Gordon and Mike Joy. I am looking forward to having him up there. Listen to more of the Clint Jeff banter for next year. I'm so excited, but kind of he's has four more races left in that 14 car there. Ryan, I'm going to start off with you. Your thoughts on Clint Bowyer there getting eliminated. Obviously, Clint Bowyer going back home to his home track in Kansas this weekend for the final time in that 14 ride. So your thoughts on Clint Bowyer and him going up to the booth.
Definitely going to be an emotional weekend for Clint. He did run the last 20-some laps of that race at the Roval without power steering. You could definitely tell after the photo, him just sitting by the car. He gave it everything he had to try to advance into the round of eight. Unfortunately, he didn't. Clint is one of those good guys. I did see him win out at MIS. The wife and I did. Cool victory. Good, cool, awesome guy. He's going to bring a lot of acknowledgement to the booth. He's going to bring that energy level. I mean, they're no offense to Mike and Jeff by themselves. I thought they did well, and especially with the old COVID and how they had to broadcast races now. I think Bowyer's going to add that spark. I think it's going to be a great crew. The acknowledgement, but yeah, like I said, this is going to be a very emotional weekend for Clint. It's cool to see that there's going to be fans in the stands. Eddie, I'm glad you're going to be one of those fans. Send Clint out on a high note this weekend.
AJ, your final thoughts on Clint Bowyer there, finishing in the 10th spot there. Good run for him until those issues with the power steering, and he looked exhausted. Yeah, the photo there, he looked exhausted there. He gave it all he had left in the tank. Still four more races left. And obviously, you mentioned it already a few moments ago. Chase Briscoe there waiting in the wings to possibly take over that 14 ride. But your thoughts on Big Clint?
So, I've talked a lot about wild cards tonight. And let me just say, the biggest wild card of anything, whether it be playoffs, silly season, whatever, the biggest wild card is going to be Clint Bowyer going to the Fox Sports booth for TV. We don't know what's going to happen with him in that booth. The FCC is probably already calling Fox going, are you sure about this? But from a personal note, to see Clint Bowyer decide that it's time to hang it up, it's something that hits me personally because I've always considered Clint Bowyer to be that second guy I always pull for every weekend. It sucks, man. That's a guy who's got so much character in him, and he's one of those guys that you look at as, like, you know, funny moments, angry moments. Like, that's the guy right there. You never know what you're going to get with him. I said it on Facebook. I posted it. You guys might have seen it. And it was me mocking the people that say that NASCAR drivers aren't athletes. And it was a picture of Clint Bowyer outside the car afterwards. This dude just ran 45 laps, I think they said it was, without power steering on a road course. Do you know, can you imagine how difficult that must be? And I'm not shocked that he had to go to the infield care center afterwards. It's
probably had to get some fluids.
I need fluids too after that. Yeah. I couldn't make it one lap without power steering, I don't think. But no, it's we're losing one of those big, great character guys in the sport. It's unfortunate. This weekend, like Ryan said, it's going to be an emotional weekend. It's his last time at his home track. I'd love nothing more than to see the 14 car in victory lane, if it's not the 9, for sure. Bowyer will be missed behind the wheel, for sure. But unfortunately, we get him in the booth.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think he's going to bring that energy. Like I said, the energy that, like I said, unfortunately with Jeff and Mike, I mean, you had a little bit of energy, but Bowyer's going to bring that character that we all love to see from this guy. The interviews, like, what was it, a rain delay last year? He went up into the stanzas, was interviewing. What race was that? Oh, it was the Southern 500. Him and Dave Burns, they're in the grandstands interviewing a guy wearing an Alex Bowman shirt. It's like, that guy's sitting out in the rain. Let's go interview. Okay. Well, like when he went at Martinsville, went into the stands with the fans and all that. Good character guy, man.
You needed someone to fill in DW shoes when he left the Fox Sports booth. I know that they went with that two-man booth and Larry Mack on location from the studio. You needed that third guy in there to kind of, like, keep it loose might be the right word. And Clint Bowyer is the guy for that job. He fits it perfectly. I think that this is what can put, you know, we all talk about how we like Fox Sports over NBC's coverage, or NBC's over Fox. This could be like that real pushing over the edge, broadcasting team-wise. I can't wait to see what happens, especially the Daytona 500.
I still enjoy Junior. I mean, that's just for obvious reasons. But they were doing the iRacing during the stoppage, when they had Bowyer on the car in the car and he's trying to do commentary, was some of the best TV all stoppage long.
Yeah. So, yeah, they needed that third guy. Yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun to see him up there. But he has unfinished business in that 14 car. Clint Bowyer finished 10th, and he led 9 laps last week at the Roval. William Byron led 27 laps as well. Henrik Motorsports, as a whole, pretty damn good on these road courses. William Byron led 27 laps. Chase Elliott led 27. Ryan Blaney was up there for 14. Eric Jones only had led a lap as well. Ryan Preece, day before getting overtaken by Chase late, he led 8 laps as well in this race. Kind of want to get AJ's thoughts there on the king of the road courses, that being of Chase Elliott. Got a lot of momentum heading to Kansas, where obviously he's won at before. So, kind of your thoughts, AJ, on Chase here, and he's got a pretty good shot at getting into the championship four. Obviously, Chevy's hopes are on the most popular driver here, and it's right there. He can taste it. Can he close it out?
Have I mentioned how much I love road courses yet on this podcast tonight?
Once or twice.
No, but man, this is cool for me. And it's because I've never had a chance to see one of my drivers make the championship four. Like, this would be a first for me. So, like, I'm ecstatic. And it comes down to consistency. A stat was brought up during that final lap there, and I think it was Rick Allen who said it, there has been no more consistent driver through these playoffs than that 9 car, Chase Elliott. In average finish-wise, he's had the best finish through the playoffs. And that's something you really need, especially coming into these last three races, because if he doesn't win it at Kansas, Texas, or Martinsville, he can at least get it on points because you know he's going to finish well. So I don't think that the 9 is a lock for the final four, but I'm about 85% sure he's going to be there come Phoenix.
Ryan, your thoughts on Chase heading into the round of 8? He's got a lot of momentum, obviously, heading into this thing. And Chevy, for the last, several years, has not had a car make the final four. Obviously, Chase is in the round of 8. Kurt Busch, with that upset turn of events at Vegas, he's still in it. Can Chevy break through and get one of those cars to the final four?
Yeah, also, we have the idiot of Alex Bowman.
Oh, yeah, Alex Bowman. Oh, yeah, my bad, yeah, Alex. Yeah, yeah. My bad, Alex.
Yeah, it's all right. But I just got a message that Kansas this weekend is going to be run on their road course. So I had to throw that out there. But no, Chase Elliott. Sorry, AJ. But no, I think like AJ was saying, that Chase has been consistent all year in his finishes. I think he can get it done this weekend at Kansas. He is definitely the lead dog, so to speak, for the Chevy camp to get into the final four. And I think he can do it. I'm pulling for him. I know I am. I'm pulling for him in the 88 car. So I'd like to see both of those guys get into the final four. But again, I mean, just think next year. How many road courses are on next year's schedule? Six?
They're like six. Yeah, six of them. Yeah.
AJ, you might be celebrating six times next year, buddy. But yeah, I do believe he can get it done, and I ain't gonna say anything else. I'll just leave it at that.
So, looking at the rest of the final eight heading into the round of 8 opener in Kansas Speedway this weekend, obviously Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, the top two lead dogs all year long. Brad Keselowski, let's not forget about him. He's sitting there in the third spot, 13 above Chase Elliott, who has the last spot right now. And then Chase Elliott is between a Penske sandwich between Keselowski and Joey Logano. First one out, 5 out. MTJ, 10 out and 6. Alex Bowman, let's not forget about him sitting there. Also, Kurt Busch is the last guy in there. So, kind of in a nutshell here, going to Kansas this weekend to start off. Kansas, Texas, and Martinsville. The round of 8 plus begin in KC this weekend. What? I'll start with AJ first. What are your surprises? Who are your surprises here in this round? I mean, who are your surprises here in this round of 8? And who's kind of a sleeper here to make some noise? That's really tight between 3rd and 6th. And I'll throw in Bowman in here also. It's really tight across the board. And you kind of mentioned, I'm going to follow up on that too. Consistency. I mean, we've seen it through this format. If you can point your way in, I mean, we've seen that 4th guy point their way in to the championship 4. I mean, that's going to be a huge key there. Obviously, the big key coming in here is winning. You got to win. I tweeted it out right after the race. MTJ, I think he'll have to win to get in, but obviously he's in a position too to point himself in there also, but he's going to have some help as well. But there are good tracks for him in this round for MTJ. So for a lot of these guys. So who are your kind of your surprises, and who kind of a dark horse in here for this round of 8?
Well, I don't think anyone saw Kurt Busch winning a race in the last round to move on. So I mean, you got to start there. Bowman getting in there too, especially being the only other Hendrick guy that didn't win so far in this playoffs to get in. That's another one. You've already mentioned Martin Truex up and down, but I mean, there's a guy who can always get it done no matter what at any track he goes to. So I mean, he's probably a pretty big favorite this weekend, I think. But I look at the guy in 3rd and the guy in 5th in the championship standings. The Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, the Penske guys. those are the guys that always find themselves there late in the playoffs. They sneak out the win at Martinsville. They sneak out the win at Texas, you know, real late, didn't have a dominant performance, and it gets them in there. So really anyone who's not Denny Hamlin or Kevin Harvick, those are your wild cards. Those are your dark horses going into this round.
Ryan, your thoughts on this final eight, the semifinals, a sleeper, and who we got to pay attention to here?
I tell you what, out of all the eight drivers that are in here, all eight of them can be in the final four. That's how good this is right now. The sleeper is my sleeper is Alex Bowman. I think that team is hitting something. They started out really strong this year. When they came back after the COVID break at Darlington, they were running good. Then they hit that slow patch. I think they got the momentum going on. But, you know, as AJ said, I mean, don't count out Joey Logano. Don't count out the 19. Those are the three guys I'm watching right there. Yeah. The 22, 19, and 88.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that also. And, yeah, Kurt Busch, I did not expect him to make it to the round of eight. That is a surprise, obvious surprise for me and a lot of us, as we all said here tonight on this 200th episode of the 3Wide Podcast. Alex Bowman, he started like a house of fire this year. I've said it multiple times on this podcast, and then he went quiet. He went in hibernation mode through the summer, and now they've hit on something. And Bowman, he gets around Kansas pretty good. So
yes, he does.
An average finish in the last couple of races of 9.6, three top 10s. So, and you go back to Vegas, Las Vegas, and Kansas, pretty much same characteristics. Obviously, Vegas was a night race, and Kansas, a day race, cooler temps. That's going to be something to watch all weekend long with these races. But yeah, Bowman, he was battling up for Denny Hamlin for that win going back to Vegas. He had opportunity to probably sweep those races, and unfortunately, racing situations got screwed up those plans. So Bowman's a guy that could pull a Kurt Busch and get himself there. You just never know. Expect the unexpected when it comes to the round of eight. I'm definitely going to be paying attention to the 88 along with the pesky cars of the 2 and the 22 for sure.
So. Yeah, it's going to be three good races. You got a 400 miler, then a 500 miler, and then the paperclip.
Yep, that is for sure. I'm going to do a loose luck style. Ryan, we kind of talked about weather a little bit for this weekend. What do you got for the weather this weekend, for the races this weekend?
Hold on, let me, I was not expecting that, but I can pull it up real quick. So the 10-day, Saturday they're calling cloudy and 72. Sunday, scattered showers, a 40% chance of rain, and 54 degrees.
Yeah, so cooler.
So let's get them rain tires out and let's go.
that would be...
I'm telling you, I saw it Saturday and Sunday, when the track was wet and they had them rain tires on there. They were sticking to the banking. Just throwing it out there.
So,
if anybody... I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see what they can do.
We'll have to see if the weather holds. And yeah, and then obviously next week, at least around these parts of the U.S., yeah, next week, middle of the week, already calling for snow. So, not ready for winter just yet up here. But fall temps, I'm ready for that. But winter, not so much, not even close. So,
I love the wintertime. I'm ready for bring it on.
Martin Truex Jr., for the last couple of races, five average of fifth pretty much there in the last, going back to 17 at Kansas, a couple wins, six top tens. Kevin Harvick, average finish of seventh, five top tens, of course, with a win mixed in there. Brad Keselowski, four top tens, a win. Chase, same thing, four top tens in his last few races there with the W from a few years ago. Denny Hamlin, the last time we're at Kansas, Denny Hamlin having to hold off Brad Keselowski and Martin Truex for the win there. Denny Hamlin going for three straight at Kansas here on Sunday. And obviously, Denny Hamlin in good position, already in good position to make the championship four. Can he lock it in on Sunday? We'll find out. Two wins, obviously, back to back, and four top ten. That four top tens, you got to go back to the playoff race from last year at Kansas there, holding off the, and I was in the stands last year with Chase Elliott, when Chase AJ made that gigantic comeback. Man, the stands were electric there. My eyes were focused on him. I thought he was going to get Denny there, but obviously he did not. But Hamlin going for three straight this weekend. Obviously, Hamlin and Harvick had their issues at the Roval. This weekend, Alex Bowman, already touched on him, having an average finish of 9.5. And Kurt Busch, let's not forget about him, five top fives in the last few races at Kansas with the same average of 9.5 there. So your playoff drivers right there in the weeds. And you got to go back a little bit ways to Joey Logano there, but he's had some success at this racetrack as well. So a lot to look forward to this weekend in KC. I'll be there on Sunday for the big race, for the main event. I will not be there for the doubleheader, but it's going to be must-see TV. I'll watch doubleheader from home. I'll be making my way there Sunday morning. Cannot wait to get to the racetrack there. All right, folks. Just a few more minutes with the Loose Lux Podcast crossover episode here on the 3Y Podcast on this 200th episode. Thankful for these guys to both join me. I know they have busy schedules here. AJ coming off the softball game, and then Ryan doing Ryan things at home with Logan. So
that's right.
All right, so now time for picks. So we're going to start with the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series race on Saturday. I'm going to start with Ryan. I'm going to type these in so I can keep track of them here. So, all right. So,
Gainer Outdoors. This isn't our show. Don't take my pick.
Yes. All right. So, Ryan, who do you have in the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series? And we're going to just go ahead and throw in a dark horse as well. Who you got?
Give me Austin Hill.
All right. And who you got as a dark horse, sir?
Haley Deegan.
Oh, already. All right.
You saying? I've said it on the Loose Lugs podcast. I'm expecting big things from this young woman, and she's got the talent, and it's going to show, guys. It's going to show.
All right, Ryan, there with the wild card there. All right, AJ, who you got?
I'm going to take the 21 truck of Zane Smith and my sweeper. It feels weird saying this. Johnny Sauter.
Yeah, Johnny Sauter. Yeah, with a disappointing season there. And so not making the playoffs there. Very rare for that team there. So Zane Smith there for AJ, the 13 dark horse for Sauter. We got Ryan going with Austin Hill to make it, and Haley Deegan as a dark horse. As for me, I'm going to go with Sheldon Creed. You left the door open. I'm going to go there for the win. And for my sleeper pick here, I'm going to go with Derek Krause in that 19. He's been really solid this year for that team. So I really
like
him.
Yes, he has.
So that's going to be my dark horse there. Derek Krause at 19.
I do like that pick, the Derek Krause. I do like that kid.
Yep, yes, sir. All right. Moving on to prime time Saturday night in Kansas City. I'm going to start with AJ this time. Who you got?
I'm going to take Justin Allgaier.
Oh, all right.
And then I'm going to take Ryan Seed.
Ooh.
All right, all right.
Nice. Very nice. All right. So AJ has Allgaier and Sieg as the dark horse. Allgaier, of course, a win from these playoff drivers, ladies and gentlemen. And you're locked in to the Final Four. Obviously, just Allgaier, a lot of success in Arizona. So see what happens there. Ryan, who you got?
Noah Gregson is my pick. And my dark horse, he was eliminated from the playoffs last weekend. Harrison Burton.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Of course, Harrison Burton, last time we were in Kansas with no fans, it was a battle between Austin Cindric and Harrison Burton there, going back and forth. Harrison Burton had a long, very good long-run car, as I remember it. Austin Cindric, very dominant throughout the night. And Brandon Jones there snuck in with the win there. As for me, I'm going to go, you guys left the door open, I'm going to go with the 22 there to seal his ticket to Arizona there. And my dark horse, the guy who's won this race 2 years in a row, I'm going to go with Brandon Jones. So, so that's what I have there. So Allgaier, C for AJ. We have Ryan has Gregson and Burton. I got Cindric to win in BJ in the Xfinity Series. All right, so the big dog on Sunday on NBC. Let me double check here real quick here real fast.
I think it's NBC.
Here, I believe you're correct, Ryan. No, a second here. Yes, yes, sir. Ryan is right on the money.
2:30 Eastern, 1:30 Central. 1:30
Central time right here in Kansas. For those of you who are going, yes, you know the rules, but we're very excited. Obviously, no fans. The last time were the Cups, the Xfinity, and we're actually all three series, I believe, were here at Kansas. So very excited to get out there once again. So, all right, I'm going to start off with Ryan on this time. So, Ryan, who you got for this weekend, the Cup race, and who to watch out for?
Kevin Harvick is my pick. Oh. And to watch out for the 24 and 48.
Oh, double. So,
yes.
Obviously, William Byron coming off that good run at the Roval, of course.
Yes.
And you said the 48, Jimmy Johnson? That's what you said?
Yes. Yep.
Jimmy. All right there. So, Jimmy Johnson, that 48. All right. Leaves AJ. Who you got?
Well, now call me crazy. I'm going with Kyle Busch to win the race.
Oh, ooh.
Yep. Because now Kyle Busch has something to prove. Ooh. You're giving him reason to win.
That he can. Oh yeah, I have to. That's a smart.
That's solid. That's solid pick. Yeah.
And my dark horse, because we're thinking back to mile and a half this year, and we already had a rookie win at a mile and a half with Cole Custer. I'm going with Tyler Reddick to be my dark horse.
Nice. Nice. So, AJ going with Kyle Busch there to keep a streak of, a 16-year streak of winning the Cup Series on the line. So, man, that would be something there, some storyline there, if Rowdy were to pull that off. So, AJ, Kyle Busch, and Tyler Reddick there, who was solid here a few months ago at Kansas Speedway. Ryan has Harvick, and then his dark horse is 24 and 48.
Just to watch the Jimmy, see what he can do there.
we'll see what happens on Sunday with him. As for me, I got a homer out. The 19, as I said, he's going to need a win to get himself in. He's got a good chance to do that. I got a homer out this weekend. So doing that, that's the obvious. And then my dark horse, I'm going to go with Blaney. He gets around here. Pretty good, Kansas. Disappointing one of the more shocker eliminations, in maybe outside second to Kyle Busch, number one Ryan Blaine, with all that speed. Have seen it's got to be killing him not to be in the final eight. Showing all that speed, you got a champion crew chief and Todd Gordon. Very disappointing season for Ryan Blaney, but I have him as a dark horse. I think he's going to be a player in the mix on Sunday afternoon. So that's what I have right there. So yeah, very good picks there here for this weekend, and kind of to wrap up the show here real quick with silly season before I get you guys out of here, get myself out of here as well. Silly season, obviously, there's still some pieces left to be known here, obviously. News of Bubba Wallace, Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin start up a team. Obviously there, that I'm excited for that. We already know Christian Bell is going to the 20. We still have some unknown unfinished business there, and one driver of note here, Erik Jones, is still out there waiting for that ride. I mean, since not making the playoffs, he's performed well, but still looking for that ride. And a name that's been circulating, obviously, I brought him up several times as of late. Obviously, Kyle Larson's name's been brought up in the mix there, and we talked a little bit about silly season tonight on the Three Wide Podcast, EG3. So, AJ, kind of, your thoughts on silly season? What surprised you, and what are you still looking at? And obviously, I talked about a little bit on my podcast, on this podcast, I should say, last week. Alex Bowman, the move, kind of surprised me a little bit there, taking over that 48 ride, but it was reasonable because he already signed a 1-year deal already, so that kind of surprised me as well. So kind of your thoughts on silly season so far.
All right, so the biggest shock to me, I think, was hearing Michael Jordan coming in to the sport and then taking on a charter and all that, bringing Bubba Wallace over. Bowman moving to the 48 is kind of shocking to me, but it kind of makes sense because I am a firm believer that Kyle Larson is coming to Hendrick, and I think Ally didn't want Larson, given what he did, obviously, and don't blame them for that. But I think this opens a door for Hendrick to get the car number 57, which is what Kyle runs on dirt, and it gives him a chance to bring in some sponsorship from him, and I think he goes to Hendrick before next week's over. Rick Allen did say that he talked to Rick Hendrick this past week, and he said, expect the driver announcements soon. Mm. I just really think it's him.
That's kind of what I'm thinking as well. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm leaning on as well. Ryan, your thoughts? The worst
kept secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. The thing is, though, like, for some reason, Alex Bowman cannot get sponsorship in the 88 car. I don't know why. Ally is a firm believer in the 48 car, so they're still going to be on board. I like the move for Bowman to go over into that car, and obviously, like AJ hit the nail on the head, I think Larson's in the car. The only other place I can see Kyle Larson going is the 14 car, and that's the only other place I can see him. Erik Jones, I think he's going to end up with Richard Petty.
Ooh.
Ryan brings up a really good point here. Everyone thinks Briscoe's going to the 14, but if it was that obvious, don't you think they would have announced it already?
Yeah, they would.
Yeah, say, yeah.
He's in the
car. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good, very good point. Yeah, they would have announced it already. And we already know, and I want to go back to Matty D, that whole situation there, re-upping for 1-year deal, and that's, the announcement was that's made. Terrible. The announcement was made that Austin Cindric will take over, not this year, but next year. So Austin Cindric will take over that 21 ride for 2022. Di Benedetto, all these 1-year deals. Man, you got to feel for the dude.
Eddie, that's exactly what I'm thinking, man. Why keep giving this guy 1-year deals? Give him some sort of comfort behind the wheel of that car instead of him having to run for his life every week.
I feel
so bad for him.
I do too. I've met him at MIS, and one of the nicer guys I've met. I kind of wish he would have ended up in the 48 because they would have gave him maybe a 2 to 3 year deal to be in the, you know, the 48 or even the 88. I'd like to, you know, but at that time, but yeah, the 1 year deals. No, no, come on. The guy is proving himself. The guy has busted his rear end to be in this, the top division in motorsports. And you're only going to reward him. Oh yeah. You're going to keep this car, the seat warm, until the next gen comes out. And then you're going to go out and try to find somewhere else. I don't like that. I think that's, unless he goes over to the two-car one, because the Brad's deal was only a one-year deal, too.
Yeah, so very, very interesting there with all these one-year deals. So we'll have to see there. Unfortunate situation there for DiBenedetto again, but... He's still breathing easy. He's still breathing okay here. But yeah, I got a feel for the guy. After being eliminated, come up with a couple good runs. Obviously, the whole Talladega situation there, which we've already discussed. We're not. It's already late in the podcast. We're not gonna touch that. But yeah, he's been.
Hey, I just want to ask you one question, Eddie. On that, did NASCAR eat their own words with that decision? In regards to the yellow line.
I said it on the podcast last week, and if you have not listened to the last episode of the 3Wide podcast, EG3, download it before listening to this awesome episode. I pretty much said it then, I'm going to say it now. They missed it. I mean, yeah, Denny Hamlin, he definitely went below the yellow line. And even if DiBenedetto were to win that race there, he would have got penalized anyways, and he would have gone to Eric Jones. He was the next guy behind him. So yeah, very inconsistent rule. I don't like the rule. It's just they've been very inconsistent with it since installing it. Yep. So I mean, just that comes to my mind. Hate to go off the rails a little bit, but Justin Haley at Daytona. I went crazy on that move. So on obviously, you know, he had it because Elliott Sadler, I might be wrong, he was forced a little bit. So they've been very inconsistent with the rule. That's my opinion. And yeah, I mean, obviously they got a Chase one mixed up there. So yeah, I mean, they're all over the place with that, and so they need to stick with get a firm baseline on that rule, because, yeah.
At least get rid of it on the last lap.
Get rid of it.
Last lap, anything goes.
Yep, anything goes, last lap, you know.
If you're crazy enough to do that on the last lap, to go below the yellow line and try to pass somebody, all for it. But Junior said it best after that race, get rid of it. I've said it, but, you know, but like AJ said, get rid of it the last lap.
So, you know, I told someone on Twitter that, who was like, well, you know why we have it, right? So we keep away from wrecking a ton of cars. And I'm like, we're wrecking a ton of cars now. These guys run 3 wide. They can't even keep it off each other. 10 years ago, we were running 3 wide without even cautions. So...
Martin Taylor
Hart at Talladega,
one of the fastest races in history.
The hell's the difference at this point?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
I better get ourselves out of the rabbit hole on that one. So the schedule obviously came out, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this before we close the show tonight. We kind of mentioned it already, 6 road courses next year. Chase Elliott's got to be licking his chops.
Make it all 36.
Campaign for all 36. And then I mentioned it a little bit on the episode before, but probably the last episode prior. You know, the Bristol on dirt had me puzzled. I don't know why they're doing that when they could have done it somewhere else. So, Ryan, I'm going to start with you on this next year's schedule. Obviously, Brad Keselowski talked about it a little bit on the Final Lap Weekly podcast about NASCAR going out and making bold changes. Well, these are bold changes indeed. We're going to some different places next year, which I'm excited about. So kind of your likes and dislikes on next year's schedule. Atlanta getting their second date back there. So, and then obviously Kentucky, Chicago losing dates.
MIS lost a race. I'm bitter about that. And I like the fact that they're doing the Indy road course. After watching the Xfinity race there, I said, yep, NASCAR will be doing that next year, and I'm sure that they are, which is awesome. I've got to go into this. The schedule itself, I don't mind adding tracks. Switch it up every year. Okay, MIS lost a date this year, or next year, excuse me. You have people, because they canceled both races here, that had camping for both June and August. People had certain dates for June, certain August dates. Now there's only one race. You should have set the schedule, not next year, but the year after that with the schedule we have coming out, to, you know, the people that have campsites, because people are losing campsites. Somebody had June, they're probably not going to get their campsite for August. That's the biggest crap I have about it. Like I said, I like the new tracks. Interesting to see what the road course is, and the Bristol dirt, like you said, Eddie, is mind-blowing. Definitely looking forward to it. I told AJ when I found out that there was only one MIS race, oh, time for me to travel to a different track.
Hey, Daytona's open.
That's right, to do my two races per year. So,
my biggest complaint is that with Atlanta getting a second date, it almost guarantees a repave.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's my biggest gripe, but I'll get over it, I guess. I'm gonna have to. I don't have the choice in it, but
that
yeah.
Sucks.
I mean, that's the racing in Atlanta is great the way it is, because that track's so old and so broken up that it just, it needs tires. One thing that we've all been complaining for is tires to actually be a factor in all of this, you know? But that would be my biggest complaint, is that it just means that Atlanta's getting paved. Other than that, I think the schedule's great.
Yeah, so definitely looking forward to next year's schedule and how it all plays out. But we got unfinished business beginning at Kansas this weekend. Looking forward to it. Boys, it's time to wrap up the show. It's been great, great show on this 200th episode of the 3Wide Podcast with EG3. Ryan.
Eddie, I just really want to say real quick, Eddie.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Congratulations on 200 episodes, man. You know, we've loved having you on the show, and we love being on your show. Congratulations on 200.
Thanks,
yes,
AJ.
I second with what AJ said. It's been an honor and a privilege to be on 200. Man, 200, I can't believe it, 200, and we're a part of it. We've had an awesome time. It's been a great show. To 200 more.
Yes, to 200 more episodes. So, yeah, looking forward to the rest of the playoffs and to see what unfolds there. Boys, tell everyone where they can follow you, and what's the latest on the Loose Lugs podcast? I know you guys have been kind of MIA lately. I know you have busy schedules going on, but yeah, tell us what's been happening.
The best way I can say it is, like, Ryan and I have, like, the opposite schedules, in the sense of, like, Ryan gets to be, I mean, not gets to be, but Ryan's usually off early, and I'm working way later now than I've usually been, so it's been hard to find a time that meshes for both of us. I will say we are working on getting some episodes in here for the remainder of the season. I'm going on vacation, actually, tomorrow. Leaving for Georgia. But some places you can find us. And Ryan, get ready for this one. You can find us on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube by searching in your search bar, the Loose Lugs Podcast, and hitting subscribe and follow and getting that notification bell ready. Ryan, what's that notification bell sound like?
Ding, ding, ding.
And we're on Twitter @LugsPodcast, and you can tweet us about our show using the hashtag LugsPod.
All right. Awesome, awesome stuff. Any last words here before we get ourselves ready to roll out for Kansas?
Road courses are awesome.
Well, normally, as we close our show, I normally say we'll see you at the track. But, Eddie, since you'll be at the track, you can hit them with it.
All right, folks. I will see y'all. Whoever's going to the races this weekend, I will see you guys on Sunday at the racetrack, Kansas Speedway, Kansas City, Kansas. It's going to be popping this weekend. Cannot wait to get out there and see the races. I'll watch the doubleheader on Saturday here from home in Manhattan, Kansas. Then I'll be heading over there on Sunday. I will see you at the track. Big thanks to Loose Lugs Pod Duo of AJ and Ryan for joining me tonight on 200 of the 3Wide Podcast EG3. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap things up for this week's edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. For AJ, Ryan, EG3, thank you guys for listening. This will come out Friday as usual, so be on the lookout and have this in your ears for the weekend. Get you guys ready for some racing, some playoff racing this weekend. I will talk to you next week after Kansas. Until then, enjoy the races. This week at Kansas, we are out.
See you.
See you.
With EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going 3 wide.